Blog Talk Radio.
When we came out of slavery,
It seems that when we came out of slavery, we got a different spirit. And eventually it seems that we became against one another, you know, bickering and killing one another. And so, you know, we get mad when a white person kills us or when a white cop kills us, but we don't get mad when it's us doing it. And so we are out of kilter. We are out of balance. And the Most High tells us exactly how we are to love one another. And so we're going to get into that on this evening. I want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be, whether you're in North America or South America, whether you're on the African continent, the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, the communist bloc country, the Far East. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. Let's go ahead and do our statement of faith. Then we will blow the shofar, pray in, and we'll get into this precept. Hopefully I can finish this one this evening. If not, it will probably be next Sabbath before I'm able to finish it. So that's what we'll do. But I pray that I'm able to, like I said, it's about 20 scriptures on how to love your brother. Okay, and with all the explanations and what have you. Not time, you know, and I speak as the Spirit gives me utterance. A lot of the times I don't know what I'm going to say before I say it. And so just understand that. As I can't tell you how long it's going to be. It's not practiced. It's not rehearsed. I don't say, oh, I got to do this within 2 minutes or 3 minutes. It's as the Spirit gives me utterance. And so a lot of times I don't know what I'm going to say. And so I start reading the scriptures and start expounding on them. And then most I will bring things back into my remembrance. Okay, with that being said, let me have the ladies to cover their head, men uncover your head. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and a seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this evening. Hallelujah, Yah Elohim. Hallelujah, Father. We give you glory, honor, and praise on today. We lift you up and we magnify your name, O Yah Elohim. And we fall down before you and we adore you and we will worship you and we will not give our adoration to anyone but you. You are our Elohim, Father. And another we will not give our worship to. So we thank you, Father, on this day. We thank you for your culture. We do these things for our own good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And hallelujah. Hallelujah to you, O Yah Elohim. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. In our verse for this evening, let's do John 14 and 15. The book of John, chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High bless you through the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. And the blowing of the shofar.
Uh-huh.
and I was a brickyard in Birmingham, Alabama. And, you know, people didn't have much, but you could count on them. Okay, and when my grandfather would lock me out, I had a neighbor that would let me sleep there. Because with my grandfather, if he wasn't home by the time those street lights came on, he wasn't getting in. You either slept on the porch or you found someplace else to sleep, but you wasn't getting into his house. He didn't care who you were. And so we had, you know, we were up to our mischief, and, you know, in the ghetto, anything that you might find, any and everything, because there is, I'm trying to remember how godly people were. And there was a sense of goodness about them, but I don't know how godly they were. But after that sun went down in the brickyard, all you hear is boom, 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 clack, 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 boom. You wake up, some of your friends ain't alive. And many of my uncles have been shot. One, 6 times in the chest. Didn't kill him, but he killed the person that shot him. And so that's the environment, you know, that I was exposed to. And when I see the news and I hear about us killing each other, well, surely we have not read the Bible. And they have not taken it seriously. Even during the times, I was thinking about this, even during the times when the Fate of Ku Klux Klan would come against, and we would see them, maybe we were spread out too far. Maybe it's because it was in farmland, and, you know, they could come to this farm and terrorize people, and you would be too far away. So I'm not going to be too harsh on them, because it might have been one family against a group of men with guns. But I know that if we go the route that I say we're going, we will be able to defend ourselves and we will not fear anyone, even if it means our death. Because the more somebody terrorizes you, the more they will terrorize you. If they don't feel like they can terrorize you, they won't come and terrorize you. And so, you know, that's why I'm standing on that. Verse 17. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. So don't commit sin against your neighbor or your brother. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. You know, we see this all the time. So our youngsters don't know how to love each other. They don't know, they don't have an expected standard except for what they learn in the street. And those street standards usually are gang-related or group-related, and they're not based upon biblical principles. So the Most High tells us, don't hate our brothers, and don't rebuke thy neighbor, and not suffer sin upon him, and you shall not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. Somebody makes you mad and you don't want to let it go. You want to keep holding on to it until you get revenge. He said, don't do it. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So we know that, you know, we make mistakes. We may not always make the correct decision. We may fly off in the heat of an argument. But if we adhere to these principles, then we won't hold a grudge. We won't let it linger. But you said what you had to say, I'm going to say what I have to say, and, you know, maybe we come back later and discuss it. Okay. And so he's giving us this standard. When we see our people shooting one another, see them robbing one another, see them taking advantage of each other, getting over on each other, then we shouldn't put up with that. And we know it's wrong, but we adopt it as a way of life because we want to be better in some type of way than they are. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 10. And our reference verse is 19. You may want to get more than that. Actually, we'll start in verse 17. For Yah, your Elohim, is an Elohim of Elohim, and Yah of Yah, a great Elohim, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute judgment of the fatherless and the widows, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. So the Most High says, hey, I have a special affinity in his heart for those that are fatherless, those that are widows, and he looks out for them. And we're, as a society, supposed to take care of them. Okay? And he says he loves the stranger. The stranger is the one, it's not a visitor, it's somebody that's sojourning among you in your everyday life. But they're not you. They may not be the same race, but they are living among you, and they want to come close. They want to live according to your standards of serving the Most High. It says, so he loves the stranger and giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger. Why? For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Now, strangers today, that can apply to anybody. You know, somebody's walking down the street. You don't know them. And so we have a hard time with these things. But he's really talking about those that sojourn, that live among you. And if they know what you're about, then they're going to be respecting what you're about. And in a lot of cases, if you are living the life and you're projecting that life, then they may even want to join you. Let me come over and worship with you. What do you think the Bible says about this? How do you think that you're supposed to worship the Most High? They may become that curious if we're not trying to beat them up. Okay. Let's go to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 22. And let's get verse 39. Matthew, chapter 22, and verse 39. And we know that this verse is, and the second is likened unto it. You know, where it tells us the greatest commandment is to love the Most High with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second one is likened unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So really, whatever you don't want people doing to you, you shouldn't do to them. Treat people how you want to be treated. If you don't want them getting over on you, don't get over on them. If you want them to watch your back, watch their back. If you see something strange going on that is out of the norm, then you should say something to them like, hey, I saw this person prowling around your house or whatever. So do what you would have them to do to you. Mark 12 and 31, the book of Mark, chapter 12. in verse 31. Mark chapter 12 and verse 31, and the word of the Most High reads. Same verse, different book. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these two. And let's see if I want to go into this conversation. Let me find this verse to make this complete. Go to Matthew 22 and 40. Matthew 22 and 40. Chapter 22 and verse 40. And the word of the Most High reads, on these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. So it's not just these two commandments. If you want to know how to fulfill these two commandments, then you got to learn the law. What is the law concerning how to serve the Most High? What is the law concerning how to serve your brother or your neighbor? How do you love them? It's in the law. So these are the greatest two. Messiah summarizes them. But then he says, all of the law hang on these two commandments. In other words, you can put all of the law into one or the other. That means the ceremonial law, how he wants to be worshipped and praise during his ceremony, his feast day. It comes up under Elohim. It's not about us. It's about him. So we are to honor him in that way and understand that these two great commandments upon that. And so if we want to know how to fulfill them, the details, the specifics, then we got to go into the law. Now the problem today is people will read those verses and never go back into the law. And so they'll put their own definition of love to those commandments. And I can tell you right now, everybody does not have the same definition of love. And so we have to get the Most High definition and apply it by learning his laws that help us to complete these two. Okay, so let's go to Luke chapter 10. The book of Luke chapter 10. In verse 27. Okay. Luke chapter 10, verse 27. And he answered and said, thou shalt love Yah, thy Elohim, with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. And then he asked, and the man asked, well, then who is my neighbor? Do I have to treat everybody like this? Who is my neighbor? So let's see what Messiah said. And Messiah answered, said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, his clothing, and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. Does this priest seem like a good neighbor? He saw him wounded, and he walked on the other side. Ain't my business. Okay. And likewise, a Levite, a priest, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. So the priest did the same thing. But this Levite, he could have been responsible for, you know, stocking a room or whatever. But he still had the priesthood. But a certain Samaritan, now these were the ones that disobeyed. They are Israelites, some of them. And they disobeyed the Most High. He says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. So this is a Jew, a Samaritan having compassion on a Jew. When two Jews walked by him and said, ain't their business. They walked on the other side of the road. I ain't getting involved. But this Samaritan, he went and bound up his wounds and pouring in oil and wine and set him on his own beast. And brought him, so he set him on his own beast. Not the man on his beast, but the man on the Samaritan's beast. Means he had to walk. And brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, or the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave it to the host. Now, whatever 2 pence would buy, and in those days, I guess it would buy a lot. And said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, if you spend more than this 2 pence, when I come again, I will repay you. The Messiah said, which of these three do you think, thinkest thou, was a neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? So it's about how we treat our fellow man. You can have somebody that looks like you, won't stop to help you. Same blood, ain't getting involved. And then you have somebody that maybe don't look like you. Maybe they do. Maybe they're not of the same bloodline. Maybe they are. But y'all clearly don't get along in normal life. And he sees you in need. And he goes above and beyond. Because not only did he bind him up, put him on his own horse or donkey, whatever he was riding, took him to an inn, laid him up, paid for the inn, and said, whatever else they need, take it out of this payment right here. And if you spend more than that, when I come back, I'll take care of it. So which one was the true neighbor? So it ain't all about somebody that lives next door to you. It ain't all about somebody that looks like you, that acts like you, how somebody will treat you. A lot of the times, some people in the world will treat us better than our own people. They have compassion. And they will do for us what our own people won't do. And then we get kind of confused. Well, you know, if they'll treat me like this, why am I believing this way? Not what you're believing is wrong, but it's how your fellow person treated you. And because you wouldn't, according to that understanding, you wouldn't understand. Maybe you wouldn't have helped them either. I don't know you. But this person went out of their way to help me, so now I have a different opinion. Because they're a human being. And I'm a human being. And so based upon that, he says, make sure that they are taken care of. Come to their rescue. Come to their aid. The true neighbor is the one that's going to truly help you. Not the one that's going to live around you and then when something happens, they're going to turn the other way. not a good true neighbor. I'm going to close the curtain. I ain't getting involved. That's not a true neighbor. And this is a stranger. We're saying this is how we're supposed to be. Go to Romans chapter 13. The book of Romans chapter 13. And the truth of the matter is, what Messiah said is, the true neighbor is the one that will show mercy on you. Before we go there, let's go to get verse 37, which is where we're supposed to be going. And he said, he that showed mercy. So he asked him, which one of these is your true neighbor? And your true neighbor is the one that will show mercy to you when you're in need of mercy. Now let's go to Romans chapter 13. And let's get verse 9. Romans chapter 13 and verse 9. Okay. And we'll get verse 8. Maybe I'll get verse 7 as well. So we'll get verses 8 and 9. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. So I'm not understanding something here, because a certain sect of people who will call themselves Christians will say that Messiah fulfilled the law, therefore they don't have to. So they don't have to love anyone. Because loving your neighbor, you have fulfilled the law, truly loving them. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Don't go sleep with your neighbor's husband or wife. Thou shalt not kill. Don't, that should be murder. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So you wouldn't want somebody to come in and sleep with your husband or your wife. You wouldn't want somebody to come into your house, your neighbor, and what, murder you. You wouldn't want your neighbor to be stealing from you or trying to get over on you. You would not want your neighbor to bear false witness, you know, tell a lie on you. Thou shalt not covet. That means want what your neighbor has. And then go steal it because it's convenient. I know they're out of town. They'll never know who broke into their house. So I'm going to break in and go take these things. Because you were in there. You saw what they had. And then he says, if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended this in the same, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So treat people how you want to be treated. You wouldn't want nobody to do those things to you. And if there's anything else you wouldn't want nobody to do to you, don't do it to them. You got people, if you show them the inside of your house, and if you got something that they don't have and they want, they'll break into your house to get it. If they think you got some money in your house, they'll break into your house to get it. And you know, it ain't a random act. Anytime something like that happens, it's somebody that knows you or been to your house. It's usually never a random act. Sometimes it is, but usually it's never. Maybe you were bragging. Or maybe you were excited that you got something you had been saving for. Yeah, see, I got the 65-inch big screen TV, and I'm loving it. I can watch all my games or all my shows. It looks like they're right here. Then you go to work, or you go out of town for a couple of days, they know you're at work or out of town, and they break in and take it. That's not neighborly. That's usually what happens. So the most I said, don't do these things. Sanctity of their marriage. Even if one of them is coming off to you. Because you can have the man come off to you or the woman to come off to you. And he said, hey, I'm not down. And then they may do like the woman did with Joseph. He tried to rape me. But they know that they feel like you're going to go back and tell their husband or their wife. They want to beat you to the punch. And that's what she was doing with Joseph. I'm going to beat him to the punch and make it seem like he was the aggressor when she was really the aggressor. You go break in on your neighbor and you kill them, murder them. Yeah, I said, no, that's not the way neighbors act. That's not the way you would want to be treated. So don't do those things. Go to Galatians chapter 5. The book of Galatians chapter 5. God says he wants us to love our neighbors. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love thy neighbor as your own self. Man, he sure got a fine wife. If she give me half the chance, you'll never know. It might be their window might face you or whatever, and she's up there changing, but she knows what she's doing. Maybe she's not too faithful. Or maybe you're just looking and you're looking for any chance you can get. Vice versa. Maybe the marriage ain't too good, and maybe you caught your spouse cheating or whatever, and now you want to get even. But the neighbor should know, hey, I'm not the one. That's not loving you. I understand that you're hurt, but I'm not the one you're going to do that with. I remember when I first bought my first home in Florida. It must have been 21. And I would be out cutting the grass. And this woman lived next to me, and my wife. And she would always come to the door butt naked when I'm cutting grass. And nobody could actually see unless you walked in front of that door. But she would always do it. I told my wife about it. I was like, hey, the woman next door, I guess she wants me to see her naked because she keeps coming to the door whenever I'm cutting the grass butt naked. And her husband wouldn't be there. Now, if I had been a dog or been that way, then I probably could have arranged something and been over there or had her over to the house. Either way, it would be wrong. But I wasn't about it. And it wasn't that she was a bad-looking woman. But that was just, you know, it was too much. My neighbor next to me on the other side had a teenage daughter. And at that time, I was still going out and partying. And I went to a club, and she's at the club, drunk as a skunk. No panties on, and somebody's sitting at the table playing with her. I stopped it and got her up, put her in the car, took her home. And I didn't tell them how I found her, because that would have started some mess. And I said, your daughter is drunk, and I saw her out. And I gave her a ride home. I didn't tell them everything. But she was in a condition that anybody could do anything to her. And so these were wild times. And and I could have played, you know, the young fool. I'm young, dumb. You know the saying. But the bottom line is, God doesn't want us doing that. He wants us out of concern, out of love, that we do the right thing. So, two instances. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. In both of those cases, I could have loved myself more or been, you know, I'm going to take advantage of the situation. But I would have been hurting my wife at the time. I would have been hurting her husband. And who knows what he was trying. Heck, as far as I know, he might have tried to get with my wife. But the truth of the matter is, I was not going to get with his. Okay. So 5 and 14, for all the laws fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If I don't want him coming over and getting with my wife, then no matter how his wife came to the door, how she exposed herself, then I wouldn't go to his house and try to get with his wife. I'm only 21. I think the girl was like 17 or 18, their daughter. Anything could have happened. And I'm glad that you know, she didn't say, well, I tried something. But I didn't. So I just brought her home. But she wouldn't have remembered. She was that much out of it. I don't know if somebody slipped her a roofie or something like that. But she was not coherent. Let's go to the book of James, chapter 2. James, chapter 2. Let's get verse 8. Now, the royal law. This is what he wants us to fulfill. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect of persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as a transgressor. So anytime a person, regardless of race, when they say that they belong to Messiah and they treat another believer worse than they treat themselves, then they are a transgressor. And they knowingly do it, so it's a sin that they cannot be forgiven for. Yah has to, you know, they got to go before Yah and they got to repent. And maybe he will forgive. Maybe he won't, because he says he's not a respecter of persons and he don't want us to be a respecter of persons. Oh, you black, so it's okay for me to shoot you or to take advantage of you. Or you're white, it's okay for me to do these things. You're Chinese or you're whatever. It's not. Not okay. 1 John chapter 3. And actually, let's do James chapter 2 and verse 10 as well. James chapter 2 and verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. That's why most quote-unquote Christians don't want to come up under the law. They know they're going to break one. And so even we who say we keep the law, we are required to keep the whole law and not break one, or we are guilty of all of it. Sounds harsh? But that's what Jah said. So the world needs to understand that it's a serious thing to transgress the laws of the Most High. And we want to justify ourselves. Well, he says, you can't justify yourself, because if you have committed one, you've committed them all. You're guilty of them all. And so then you need to repent, truly repent, and turn away with dread and fear. That's why they want to say we are not up under the law. But you cannot complete these things that he has told us to do. You cannot complete them without keeping his law. So I hope we can hear this. Can't get away from it. Can't take yourself from under it. It is built in. It's his culture. Love everybody as yourself. If you find your enemy hungry or thirsty, feed them or give them something to drink. First John chapter 3. And let's get verse 11. 1 John chapter 11. And I think I want to go back up a little bit here. Let's go back up to verse 7. And let's read what he's saying. Let's examine ourselves. Who are we of? Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that commits sin is of the devil. So if you're still running around committing sin, it's not of the Most High, it's of the devil. And he says, that is who you are of, the devil, if you are doing that. For the devil sent it from the beginning. From the beginning. And see, there's a difference between the devil, Satan, and Lucifer. And they try to reconcile it by saying, you know, Lucifer became Satan. Not true. Two different individuals. Satan was perfect until iniquity was found in him. Lucifer was perfect until the iniquity was found in him. Satan was a liar and a murderer and a thief from the beginning. When he was in the garden as the serpent, he was a liar and a murderer and a thief. He wanted to take the garden from man. He wanted to take rulership from man, dominion from man. That's what he did, by getting man to sin. So these are two separate beings. Lucifer became proud, puffed up. See, I'm made of every precious metal and every instrument. And when I show up, I reflect the very glory, the very essence of the Most High. I'm the praise angel. And when I praise, ain't nothing like it. I have to tell that story sometimes. The way the Most High showed me in the book. Lucifer was made to be a man. And we knew him as the king of Tyre. Tyre. And he sold worship songs like they do today. You know how you go to the store and you see this gospel group and that gospel group? He did. He started that. but he killed all of his people. Therefore, the Most High said he's going to die, but he's not going to be able to rest with the other kings. He's not going to be able to be in a grave. So he died, but he was never buried. He was killed, and he was never buried. I mean, it's a story and a half. So, not the same two people. It says, for this purpose, the Son of Elohim was manifest. Because the devil was a liar and a murderer and a thief from the beginning. He sinned from the beginning, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The devil came and took dominion from Adam and Eve. Now he says, whosoever is born of Elohim does not commit sin. That don't mean you can't sin. That means that if you truly are born of him, you're not going to sin. You're not going to knowingly sin. Let me put it that way. There can always be something that you are ignorant of. But usually Elohim is not going to let you go down that road. But find some way, somebody to tell you, no, you were thinking about that, but you can't do that. But if you do, and you did it out of ignorance because you didn't know it was sin, then he's made a way out for you. Confess it. Yeah, I didn't know this was sin, but now I know it's sin, and I'm so sorry that I have transgressed. Please don't be angry with me. I will never do it again. I know better now, and he is true and just to forgive you because you did it ignorantly. But you're not going to knowingly sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of Elohim. If you truly born of Elohim, you cannot willfully practice sin. The Spirit of the Most High, the Holy Spirit, is going to convict you. You can't go down that road. You were thinking about doing that? No, you can't do that. I won't say that every one of your thoughts is going to be pure, because it may not be. Are you going to act upon them? And if it's sin, you won't. In this, the children of Elohim are manifest. That's why I say, if you know something is wrong, and you know you shouldn't be doing it, and you know you can't struggle with it, you have to make a commitment. I'm not doing that no more. Because when we struggle with it, that means that we still want to do it. We try not to, but we still want to do it. Therefore, it remains a temptation. So when we commit, we say we're done with it, we're done with it. We're not doing that no more. Because therefore, the children of Elohim are manifest and the children of the devil. The children of the devil can't hit it. They will come up with any and every excuse to do wrong. Never committing to the Most High. They'll say that they're his, but the truth of the matter is, anytime a situation comes up, they're going to struggle with it, and most of the time they're going to fail. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of Elohim. Now, these are not Brother Miles' words. These are the words of the Most High. Neither he that loveth not his brother. So we don't do right, righteousness, which is lawfulness, then we're not of Elohim. If we struggle with it, we're not of Elohim. Because we have to make a commitment to follow him with our whole heart. And once we learn something is not of him, then we're going to let it go. you know, but I kind of like doing that. And I can't see really where it's wrong. It says it's wrong, but I can't really see where it's wrong. I don't feel like I was any worse person when I was doing that, or if I react that way. Most I says no. If I tell you not to be that way, then you need to not be that way. Make a commitment. Follow me. So we can tell ourselves that we belong to him, but if we're still doing it, he said, you don't belong to me. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. This is not something new. When Messiah said, a new commandment I give you, he's reiterating the commandment, an old commandment. Love your brother as yourself. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Why did he slew him? Why did he kill him? Because his own works were evil, and his brothers were righteous. He couldn't stand it. He outdid me again. And I can't stand that he's being righteous. And people don't like when you're being righteous. You think you're holier than thou. Why do you act so righteous? How you're supposed to act. You try to make it a negative. Just don't be overly righteous, meaning that you're putting it on other people. But you be righteous. And you project righteousness. And if they don't like it, you're not putting it on them. If anything, they will see you and say, oh, I want to be like her or him. They are fair. They are just. They are right. A lot of the times the problem is when people know us before we come to Elohim, they still see the same house. They don't realize that a different person moved in. You've been changed, and especially with family, because they want to bring up that old stuff real quick. I remember when. But you have to let them know, that old person is dead. Don't exist. I was like that, but I'm not anymore. And if you don't believe me, then you just keep believing the way you want to believe. But I've been changed. A lot of times that's the issue. But we for sure can't be contradictory. We can't be telling them to be righteous and they turn around and see us being unrighteous. They turn around and see us doing something that we ought not be doing. Then are you wicked? You are a hypocrite. You're telling them not to do these things, but then they turn around and see you doing something you ought not be doing. Oh, I'm struggling with that. No, you can't struggle with it. But you're going to turn somebody against the Most High. And they sure not going to believe your witness. So we can't be double-minded. You have to be totally committed. I'm done with that. I'm not going back to that. Go to 1 John chapter 4. And let's get verses 7 and 8. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of Elohim, and everyone that loveth is born of Elohim and knows Elohim. He that loveth not knoweth not Elohim, for Elohim is love. But is his love defined like our love is? You know, it's hard for us to love an enemy. It's hard for us to love somebody that has transgressed against us. But the Most High said, while we were yet sinners, while we were yet transgressors, he loved us. So we got to come a different way. We have to change our own paradigm. And we may have to love someone from a distance. I love you, but you know what? I prefer to keep you at arm's length. Because you yourself, that person, has proven to be untrustworthy. The first time they get a chance to, they try to take advantage of you. But you still have to love them. So, I see what you're doing, but I'm going to love you from over here. You take that mess somewhere else. Because it ain't working here. But I still love you. I pray for you, and I pray that you come into the knowledge of the truth and that you learn to serve the true and living Elohim. But I don't want to have nothing to do with you. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 34. And we may have already read this. So we won't go through this one again. But where the love is shown. So let's go to Matthew chapter 5. The book of Matthew chapter 5. Let's get verses 43 and 44. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 44. You have heard that it has been said, and who was saying it was the Pharisees, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. So no matter what, we're always supposed to be projecting love. And if there's something we can do for them, we do it. If there's not, then we don't do it. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain upon the just and the unjust. So love your enemy. Bless them that curse you. God bless you. Do good to them that hate you. Why are you doing good to you? See, when you show somebody love who has been against you, they don't know how to take it. It hurts more than if you try to get them back with hate. They expect you to retaliate with hate. But if you retaliate with love, they don't know how to take it. It actually wounds them deeper. And I was meaning this for your hurt, and you showed me love. I don't know how to deal with that. And it will usually change them. At least about you. It will usually change them because what you did is not normal. And you showed me love when I showed you hate. And they may not show it right then. But trust me, they're going to get home or do whatever, and it's going to weigh on them. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 19. Matthew's 19 and 19. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So he's telling us, it's very important. Now he's reiterating the command. But you have people that they care less about their father and mother. And they could have been drug addicts, they could have been whatever. You know, unless your parent sold you for sex, and I know of a personal instance of that, I mean, you can forgive them, but it might be hard to come back from that. But you are to honor your father and your mother. You'd actually fear them. They may not protect you the way that they ought to have protected you. They may not have provided for you the way that they ought to have provided for you. Maybe they were, what's the word I'm looking for here? Maybe they were malfunctioning. There's a different word. But they weren't acting right. Maybe they had been abused and used themselves, carried it on into their childhood. Now, I can't imagine doing that to a child. No child, much less my own child. So you got to be in a dark place to do something like that. And there's got to be some underlying problems going on to make you do that to your own flesh and blood. And maybe you were born with some type of disorder that made you think that whatever came out of your body was yours to do it as you wanted to. So you justify yourself. But just know that that's a sickness. That's not supposed to happen. So honor your father and your mother. Luke chapter 6, verse 31. Luke chapter 6 and verse 31. And let's go back up here. Let's start in verse 27. Let's see what Messiah is saying. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, your coat, forbid not to take thy coat also. So if they want your coat, give them your shirt also. Give to every man that asks of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. And I think what Messiah is getting at here, people do stuff for a reason. They got to be in a desperate place. And maybe you would do the same thing if you were in their shoes. Maybe you get to a desperate place where you don't know where your next meal is coming from. You've been sleeping on the hard ground, the cold ground, and you've been freezing. then think about what their situation may be. Are they right for doing it? No. The idea is you're supposed to be above that when it comes to your fellow man. Verse 32. Because if this was somebody you love and you saw them in dire straits like that, then surely you would give them your coat. If it was somebody you love and they hit you, then you might not hit them back. You might be like shocked or surprised, but why do you do that? Why even take it to that level? You might react and hit them back. But he's saying he wants you to consider these things. For if you love them which love you, what thanks have you? What reward do you have of the Father? It's easy to love them that love you. It's not so easy to love them that hate you. For sinners also love those that love them. So you set aside yourself from the sinner. The law says that I should love you regardless. Now, if they're coming to kill you, then the Most High don't expect you to sit there and let them kill you. That is, you wouldn't go and kill somebody, so you wouldn't want nobody to come and kill you. And you can protect yourself. Go to Romans chapter 15. The book of Romans chapter 15. So you got to be better than the sinner, in other words. They love people who love them. What difference is it? So you set yourself apart. Love them that hate you. Romans chapter 15. And let's get verses 1 and 2. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves, that every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Who just came in the door? Hold on a minute. All right. Every one of us please his neighbor for his good and edification. For even Mashiach please not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. So let their reproaches fall on you. Let their sins fall on you. Let their wickedness fall on you. If we're going to be like him. For whatsoever things were written aforetime or before time were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. You might think that, hey, I don't have no hope in this. You know, if I let them walk all over me, they're going to continue to walk all over me. As long as it's not to the giving of your life, he says to love them. Not once did he say that you had to give your life. He gave his life. And so no greater love is that than that. Is there than that? Because you gave the ultimate. You're not getting up no more. You're not talking to nobody no more. You're not seeing loved ones no more. No greater love than that. Pay the ultimate price. Go to Galatians chapter 5. He wants us to be like-minded. If we belong to Mashiach, we are to emulate him. Romans 5. The book of Galatians, chapter 5. Verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, to satisfy your flesh. But by love, serve one another. So don't go by the sister's house and be looking for an opportunity to take advantage. And don't be letting somebody come by for the opportunity to take advantage. But everything, you know, if you need this fix or you need that fix, you're not able to do it, then he should be looking for pay because he's doing it out of his love, his heart. You need this plumbing job done. If they're knowledgeable of it, they're able, capable of doing it, then they would do it and they would not charge you. They know you're struggling. And they wouldn't be looking for some other thing, some other way for you to repay them. Because that's what the world does. And a lot of women pay their bills that way. I was surprised. But they do. And so we're not supposed to take our liberty as an occasion to satisfy the flesh. And then we'll just make this an ongoing thing. No, he says, don't do that. Ephesians chapter 4. You know, I had a sister that told me that she was doing those things to get her nails done and, you know, the things she couldn't afford. Wait a minute. You sleeping with somebody to get those things? And do you not realize that you are prostituting yourself? For real? Yeah, can't do that. You know, I don't care what they tell you. Can't just sign any kind of contract because you two came to a contract. And the contract says that you two are married, but nothing of that marriage is showing up. And then you can break the contract whenever you want to break it. Well, I'm not getting what I said I was going to, he said I was going to receive out of the contract. That's not marriage up under the laws of the Most High. Once you do it, you are in it. So it's all kind of things going out here in Israel, in the world, and brothers taking advantage of women. Women taking advantage of brothers. We got to know that those things are not right. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. So you have liberty, but don't use your liberty as an occasion to the flesh, to satisfy the flesh. I don't mean that you can't get in a rightful relationship under Yah. But it needs to be done according to his statutes, his commandments, his laws, his ordinances. And let's get verse 32, Ephesians 4 and 32. And be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Elohim, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Most I says, if we don't forgive people who have offended us, he will actually put our sins back on us, every one of us. And he does do it. We can read that in the parable. when he says, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. Let me find that parable. I'll find it after we finish these verses. So, be kind to one another. Be tenderhearted. Forgive one another, even as Elohim, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Colossians chapter 3. The book of Colossians chapter 3. And let's get verses 12 through 14. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Put on, therefore, as the elect of Elohim, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity. Charity and mercy are one and the same, which is the bond of perfectness. Have mercy. Doesn't necessarily mean love. These are supposed to especially be this way that those that are in the body. And that's where I see the contradiction. First Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9. First Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you. For you yourselves are taught of Elohim's love, one love, to Elohim's love, to love one another. You're taught of Elohim to love one another. Just, I don't need to talk about that. You already know that. And how do you do it? The way that he says do it. Might be some things that he's calling us to do that we struggle with, that we have a hard time with. I don't know if I can do that. But we must do it if we say we belong to him. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Now, how do you purify your soul? How do you make yourself pure before the Most High? Seeing that you have purified your soul, how? In obeying the truth. Through the Spirit unto unseen love of the brethren. So you know what the Word says. You do what the Word says out of love. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of Elohim, which liveth and abideth forever. So we read the word of Elohim. He tells us how to love one another. Love your enemies. Don't have a grudge against your brother or your sister. Don't take the liberty to make it an occasion for the flesh, to fulfill the flesh. Don't try to take advantage. Go on. You can see it on the internet. See it on YouTube. How in the world is a pastor on YouTube on the pulpit teaching people how to have sex? I was like, what? Craziness. Pat, this woman comes over. He comes over to her house for a prayer meeting. Then he tells her she got to get naked. And she doesn't. So don't take your liberty as an occasion to the flesh. Don't be using people's desire to be obedient to take advantage of them. Love your enemies as yourself. Do unto people how you would want them to do unto you. So I said I was going to get this verse on if you forgive not people their sins, then the Most High will put all of your sins back on you. I don't know if we read that. And let us go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and I'll be right back. Right back. But we'll be in Matthew chapter 6. All right, sorry about that. I had one of those urges to go pee and couldn't hold it. Matthew chapter 6, and we're starting verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. So Messiah is going to tell us how we act and how the Most High acts to us. And if we do things to be seen of people, he said that we don't have any reward with the Father. Therefore, when thou dost thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the street, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou dost alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand does, that thine alms may be a secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So we don't want to do that. You got those guys out there on the street ministry. Are they doing it for the kingdom, or are they doing it to be seen of men? But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. So don't repeat over and over and over again. Yes, I don't want to hear that. You can ask the next night, but don't repeat within that same prayer. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not you therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So if you hold a grudge against an enemy, if you hold a grudge against your brother or your neighbor, then God says he won't forgive you because you haven't forgiven. Now, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Again, they're doing it to be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face. Okay. That thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which sees in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up treasure. And hold on, let me come in the right place. I want to do this particular parable. Lay not up for thyself treasures upon the earth, where both moth and rust does corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust that does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now hold up just a second. I think I got the wrong parable. I think this is in the parable of the talents, the 10,000 talents. Hold on. Okay, go to Matthew chapter 18. And let's go to verse 23. Okay, let's start in verse 21. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. And we'll finish with this. Then came Peter to him and said, Master, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Yeshua said unto him, I say unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now, talents in this verse is going to represent sin. Okay? Not really about the money. But for as much as he had not to pay, his lord or his master commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children to be sold, and all that he had, and payment to be made. I'm getting my 10,000 talents back. The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him all that debt. Now, this is what the Most High does with us. Now, this is past debt. This is not future debt. This is past debt, okay? But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that you owe me. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and beside him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. The same thing he just told his master. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw that what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their master all that was done. You know, you forgave him that 10,000 talents. And he had somebody only owed him 100 pence, and he had them thrown in jail, and they begged for mercy from him just like he begged for you. Then his master, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because thou desired me. You asked me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even if I had pity on you? And his master was wroth, was super angry, and delivered him to the tormentors, so he should pay all that was due to him. So he forgave him, but then he turned around and put that debt back on him. And that's why I said number two principles here. If you borrow from somebody and they forgive you that debt, you still owe them, even if they forgave you. You're just a forgiven debtor. I'm not going to call it against you. But at any time, if they wanted to, they could call that debt back against you. Remember that $100 you owe me? I need it now. And so the only way for you to become not a debtor is to pay them back. You can't say, well, you forgave me. Yeah, I did. I said I wasn't going to call it against you, but I need it now. You still owe them. Even if they forgave you. Okay. So this is the lesson in here. This man still owed that king that 10,000 talents. And he said, because you didn't forgive somebody, I'm putting all this debt back on you. I have forgiven you. But because you didn't forgive the same way, here you're going to go and go into prison. Doesn't say whether he put his wife and kids in there, but he sent him. So likewise, now we need to read verse 35 and understand this. So likewise shall your heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespass, then he won't forgive you. He will put it back on you. I forgave you all that sin, and I gave you eternal life, and you turn around and won't forgive somebody their sin against you. All the sin I forgave you is back on you. And that's what I'm going to judge you with. So understand that this is a principle of the culture of the Most High. If you, he says, owe no man nothing. That means that you're not going to make a debt like that. And if you do have a debt like that, then you need to pay it. If somebody come back and say, oh, that's all right, you keep it. You still owe them. And at any time, even though they forgave you for it, they can come back and say, you still owe me. You never paid me. And I want it back. And you are truthfully obligated to pay. That is the culture of the Most High, because I've heard people say, no, they forgave me, I owe them nothing. That's not a principle of the Most High. It's not his standard. I forgave you all that sin. Now you won't forgive somebody their sin against you, I'm going to put all your sins back on you. But you forgave me. Yeah, I did. But you still owe me. You're just a forgiven sinner. And I'm not going to count that against you. But you know what? If you do something that makes me count it against you, I can call it back on you. So we got to be very careful with this, because you might find yourself in that situation, only to find out that your sins, all your sins, were put back on you because you failed to forgive somebody that trespassed against you. This is the culture of the most, to love our brothers, to love our neighbors, love our enemies. Treat people how you want to be treated. If you don't want to be nobody's slave, then don't want to enslave somebody. Don't let that be your motivation. With that being said, I pray that we get some understanding that these are the rules, the laws, the protocols, the culture of the Most High concerning our fellow man, concerning loving him and loving our fellow man. And if we don't live that way, we cannot fulfill this. If we say, you know what, I can do all this, but I can't do that, then you have broken one of them. Because you're guilty of them all. So we must do it. Might make us a little leery of people. Might make us second guess. You know what? You remind me of somebody else. I don't know if I want to go down that road. It could make us leery. The people, for the most part, just like they were in the beginning, their thoughts are evil continually. So you're being told to love, but they may not have that same thing in their heart. Even if they don't, you are still commanded to be the way you're commanded to be. So my point is, you want to know how to love your brother or your sister? Read the commandments of the Most High. He tells us how to love one another. Messiah reiterates it and expounds on it. The Most High says, you want to love me, then obey me. With joy and without being grievous. Those fulfill the great two commandments. You got to go back into the law to see what it takes to do those things. If you're coming of your own accord, then you're going to fall short. And if you break one, you will break them all. That's what he says. You've broken them all. Maybe you didn't physically commit adultery. He says you're an adulterer. Maybe you didn't actually kill anybody. He says you're a murderer. Guilty of them all. And so we have to understand what we have gotten into and then live our life accordingly. With that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, for this is our whole duty. Fear Yah. In our things.
And his kingdom will reign forever. beginning, and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptize, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have
to everyone.